Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome to Stony Creek Church today. So glad to see all of you here. If you're new to Stony, my name is Randy Rehm. I'm the senior pastor here. Normally, I come up to preach at this time, but today we have something special for you. We're focusing today on some of our missionary work here at Stony. There is a place way down in Brazil. It's called Campo Bom. And that city houses Chain of Love. It's a ministry that reaches out to young children and teenagers who have grown up in very desperate situations. Everything has been done for them, and Chain of Love is like the last resort. And what a resort it is, because there these young people are welcomed in by leaders who love the Lord and minister the gospel to them, feed them, clothe them, train them, and bring wholeness to their lives through Jesus Christ. Well, we are participants in that ministry, in that we support Chain of Love as one of our missions organizations. And also, we have sent in the past and are sending this summer some of our own people to go down there and work and help shoulder to shoulder with this great ministry. Up on the screen, you see those that are going to be leaving in just a week. Actually, half of them will be leaving for a week, and then when they come back, the other half will be going down. So we've got two teams going, and they're both pictured up there, as you see. And as they're going to be gone next Sunday when we come, we want to ask those that are here at each of the services to come up and just have sort of an affirmation, a prayer over them, so they know that Stony Creek Church is behind them, that we're praying for them, because this is the gospel ministry. This is what Christ called us to do, to reach out, to help the needy, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and to bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sins on the cross, and that he rose immortal from the dead, so that any and everyone who puts their trust in Jesus, the Bible says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, if you are among that number and you're here, why don't you come on up and we'll have a word of prayer over you. Come on up here. The others were at the earlier services. All right, yeah. Would you stand with me and have a prayer of dedication for... Now, children. Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to show us what you are like, to live a sinless life here amongst us, and to give his life in our place, to pay for our sins, and then to be raised immortal from the dead, so that anyone who trusts in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Father, you have commissioned us to carry that message. And here at Stony, Lord, you have called us to make more and better followers of Jesus. As this team goes to Brazil, we ask, Father, that your Spirit would go with them in an active and powerful and loving way, so that as they work, it would be you working in and through them to minister to these children and these young people, so that they might see Jesus in these people that are going. Father, watch over them. Grant them safety in their travels. Grant them calmness of heart, not to worry about the details, Lord. And whatever stress may come in to their journey, grow them through it. May it be a trial that produces good fruit in their lives. Speak through them. Speak to them. Work in them and through them. We commission them. We send them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Father, your Son. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you very much. We're going to miss you guys. We're going to miss you guys. But we're glad you're going. Make sure you come back all in one piece, right? Well, now we're going to hear from one of our missionaries that serves literally on the other side of the world, in the Philippines. Back in the early 80s, early to mid 80s, I met this woman at Dallas Theological Seminary. Debbie and I had moved down there. We were just newly married, and I was going to Dallas Theological Seminary to earn my master's degree in theology. And it was a big school. One of the many students there was Linda, at that time, Linda Young. And she was going for her master's in biblical studies. And I got to know her down there. And through the years, we kept in touch. And I heard that she was serving in the Philippines as a missionary. She's going to tell you the story. But she met a man over there who had come to know Jesus Christ through the ministry she was involved in. She married that guy, and they've had four boys together. They're out on their own now. And this man that came to Christ through her ministry is now not just a pastor, but he's a leader. He's a trainer of pastors, has a great ministry there in the Philippines. And so I want you to know, before Linda Gocone comes up, and I'll ask you to give her a big welcome, that this woman embodies what Jesus lived and taught among us. You're going to be treated to a servant of the Lord. You will see it. You will sense it in the way she conveys her message today. And so, Linda, come on up. Linda Gocone, we support her.
Thank you.
Bless you.
So, magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. That means good morning in Tagalog, which is the national language. And I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, way down below you guys. And I went to college at Miami University. But I grew up in a nominal Christian family. It was a nice, good family. We went to church every Sunday. But I didn't know if I was going to heaven or not. You know, I would go to sleep and afraid that if I died during the night, would I go to heaven? And my two older sisters came to know the Lord when I was in junior high. And immediately they were reading their Bibles, they were praying, they were going to a Bible study, and I'm just like, what happened to them, you know? And then we had neighbors down the street who shared with me. My older sister had gone down there to visit them, and so I went down to see what she was doing. And the man started sharing with me, and I was just so embarrassed, so uncomfortable. We never talked about God at home. And when he asked if I wanted to pray to receive Jesus in my heart, I thought, this is my ticket to get out of here. So I prayed, I went home, and my sister came home a little bit later, and she was beaming, you know. She said, I'm so glad you accepted Christ. I'm like, oh, okay. She goes, now do you know what you need to do? I'm like, no. And she goes, well, you should be reading your Bible. And that's like the last thing I wanted to do, you know. But over the year, she would continue to explain things. I never did go to their Bible study that they were in. But a year later, my other sister, who was right above me, she accepted Christ at a Christian concert. And it was night and day with her. She came home, and she was immediately reading her Bible. She joined the Bible study that they were in. And I was put to shame. You know, it had been a year. And so she went off to Miami University because they had a really good crew movement. Campus Crusade it was called back then. And she goes, Linda, when you graduate from high school, you have to come here too and get involved with Crusade. You have been a Christian for how many years? You should be leading Bible studies by now. And so after high school, I went down there. I kind of followed in her footsteps. What she told me to do, I would do. Because I was aimless. I had no plan in life. And so I went to Miami. I majored in international studies because my dream was to go overseas and maybe work in a multinational company or something. And I studied Spanish in high school and college. So we got involved with Crusade, and they had summer projects where they would, after my sophomore year, they had projects overseas. So she went to Romania, and I applied to go to Ireland because my mother's half Irish, and I learned Irish dancing and junior high, you know, anything Irish I was in love with. And so I was like, I am going to Ireland, you know. So I got accepted, though, to the Philippines. I get the acceptance letter, and it's like, you're going to the Philippines. I'm like, where in the world is that? You know, all I could picture were naked kids running around, you know. I didn't even know what continent it was on. But so I told my sister, I'm not going there. And she goes, well, I've heard it's really open to the gospel, so do some research on it. And so I found out that the Spaniards had been there 800 years. So they, you know, there was a lot of Spanish in their culture and language. I thought, oh, maybe they speak Spanish. Maybe I'll finally learn Spanish. And then the U.S. had taken over after the Spanish-American War. So it had been an American colony. And then it was given independence after World War II. But I thought, oh, maybe they speak English. So I went over there. There were 100 of us from colleges all over the U.S. And we were on teams, and we were showing the Jesus film in these backwoods places that had no electricity or running water. But the people were just so hospitable and friendly. And they were coming to Christ in droves, you know. I was just like, man, this is for me. I want to go back as a missionary. So both Lori and I came home, and she was like, I'm going into missions. I'm like, I am too. So our missions, or the pastor of the church that was there at, in Oxford, Ohio, he had graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And he goes, if you're going into missions, you have to have a year of Bible. That's the requirement. And he said, don't just go for 1 year. Get the MABS. Get the two-year program. And girls had only just been allowed in. Like, my sister was only in the second year where girls had been allowed in. So we'd sit in the chapel and it'd be an all men's choir, you know, with different voices, and it was just like you're in heaven. But it was a fantastic 2 years at Dallas. And I worked in a Spanish-speaking church while I was down there. And so I learned Spanish fluently. So then I started thinking, should I go to Latin America or should I go back to the Philippines? Well, God closed the door to Latin America, and he flung them open for the Philippines. So I ended up going back with Send International as a church planter. And my sister never went back into missions because she joined staff with Campus Crusade and married a guy who went into the pastorate. So they have a church in Maryland. But I ended up back in the Philippines in 1987, and I was on a church planting team. And I'll show you a map. So the Philippines is located in Southeast Asia. It's under Taiwan, above Malaysia. You got Indochina and China there. Australia's further down. And then I've been on Luzon my whole career. So I started south of Manila. I had a year of language school. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about us. But I met my husband in that first church plant that I was on. He had come to know Christ through a guy on our team. And we were doing door-to-door evangelism. And so we would give a lesson. They would do that during the week. We'd come back and pick it up. And then we'd give them a second lesson. And it was evangelistic. And if they finished all 5 lessons, then we would ask if they'd want to get in a one-on-one Bible study. And so Manny did. And I could just tell he was an eager beaver. He accepted Christ and read the Bible. He was like a sponge. He like read the Bible in 2 months. And he's got cone dystrophy, and so he reads like this. He's really nearsighted. But so when they asked me to train him and another guy in doing the door-to-door survey, that's how I got to know him. And then he started studying at a Bible Institute that our sister church had. And then he eventually started studying at Asian Theological Seminary, which was started by some Dallas grads in Manila. So we got married in 1993, and we have 4 boys. Okay, so they're in age this way. So Emil, he's 30, and John's 28. He just joined the Army in January, and he's training as a medic. And then Peter is 26, and Scott is 24. So 3 of them are in Ohio, and Jonathan's in San Antonio training as a medic. So now we have a video of Manny, because when we were in our church plants, we started using a 10-book curriculum to train up our leaders. It's a seminary course level, and so he's going to explain more on that. So we have a video of him.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Stony Creek, we, the Gokons, serve the Lord in the Philippines with CCI, Crossing Cultures International, wherein we seek to glorify God by equipping Christ followers globally with comprehensive training for effective ministry. We train and equip believers so that they'll be able to train and equip other believers, so that they'll be able to train and equip other believers. The same pattern as what Paul has taught Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust this to other faithful men who will be able to train other faithful men so that they'll be able to train other to do the same. Here at CCI Philippines, I serve the Lord as the Luzon Regional Coordinator, wherein I have 4 area coordinators who work under me, and together we oversee the expansion of the Crossing Cultures International Philippines by going to churches and church leaders who will be interested. We at CCI have have several training materials which we use for training and equipping leaders, foremost of which is what we call Bible Training Center for Pastors, which is a whole curriculum for a church-based college-level Bible training wherein the pastors or the leaders can be equipped so that their ministry will be more effective for the Lord and the churches. I wish I have more time to share. I would just wish thank you and continue to pray with you and for you for the Lord's glory and honor to shine here in the Philippines. So thank you for supporting us in our ministry with Crossing Cultures International.
Okay, so CENT International stopped doing church planting on Luzon in 2010, but they do train Filipinos to go overseas as missionaries. And then they also are down in the south of the Philippines working with Muslims. So when they left, we were like, we've always been on a CEN team, so now what do we do? And we had been using the BTCP program to train our leaders. So Manny started with a group of five guys, and two of them felt called to pastor the church. And so that, you know, they started pastoring, and we went on and started another church in another province of Central Luzon. And Manny did the same thing. You know, we would lead people to Christ, disciple them, start a church, and then he would start training the leaders in BTCP. So one of those guys felt God was calling him, and so he's pastoring that church. And then we switched over to CCI when CEND left. Crossing Cultures International came to Manny and said, would you like to be the regional coordinator for Luzon? And you would just meet with pastors and present to them the BTCP program. And he said, sure, because he loved teaching it, you know, and he had seen how great of a program it is. And there are so many pastors in the Philippines who are untrained. They might take a module or go to a seminar for 5 days, and then they start pastoring. But they are unequipped. They haven't been to a Bible school. And they can do this just in their local church. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20 has three commands. It says, make disciples, baptize, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded. And so we focus on this part. I mean, in the church plants, it was evangelism, discipleship, and then we went on and said, we're not done. You know, the leaders have to be trained. And so that's the seminary level that we do with BTCP. And some advantages of the BTCP program is that it's inexpensive. It's only, you know, there's 10 books, but they only pay per book. So they pay for the first book, it's like $8, and then they get through maybe 3 months it takes to get through that book, like hermeneutics, Bible study methods. The next book is Old Testament survey, then New Testament survey, and then church history and doctrine, preaching, missions, personal spiritual development. And so they only have to pay as they go. When they start a new book, then they pay for that. So it's very inexpensive. Most Filipinos are very poor. The majority are rather poor. And while they're learning, they're serving. They're serving in the church, or they're serving in an outreach. They don't have to relocate their whole family and move up to the mountains or to Manila where the Bible schools are. It's personal and relational. It's not really a lecture type. It's more of a discipleship environment. And it's a flexible schedule. So like Manny would meet with them on a Saturday morning, and even women can study it. And then they would start a class with other women, or they'd be Sunday school teachers. And they just wanted that extra level of Bible knowledge. So if you're interested in being a teacher, you have to go through a 2-day teacher training workshop. So Manny meets with pastors, and if they're interested in starting this at their church, he'll go into a TTW, we call it, and he trains the pastors. He tells them the rules, like they're not allowed to Xerox the books because they're copyrighted. And he'll make them do like a sample teaching so he can see if they have any gifts in teaching. And then here's an example. William Castellon, he came to know Christ through our church plant in Cabanatuan. He was one of the two that started pastoring the church, and then he planted a church of his own. And so now he's teaching BTCP to his church leaders, and they've got outreaches around the province. So right now, statistics-wise, we have 69 classes on Luzon. There's 360 students, 52 teachers, 15 provinces out of 38. Philippine-wise, country-wise, there's 2,809 students in classes, 247 classes. But we really need more qualified teachers. There's other islands that Manny is over, but we don't have anybody qualified to teach. And so people are wanting to study it, but we need to find pastors that have been through Bible school that could teach it. And like Manny mentioned, he has four area coordinators. So Jay Labrador graduated from BTCP, and he pastors a church in Central Luzon, and he's meeting with pastors in that region to present BTCP. He also teaches it. And then we have Eloy, who graduated from a Bible school in Manila, and he teaches several classes during the week, and he's promoting it around in churches that he knows. And then we have two guys down in the south, Southern Luzon, who are coordinating. This guy has four classes that he's teaching. So we also meet with people just to introduce it. So the next slide is a couple from Samoa. They contacted us and they said they work with persecuted Christians in Asia and they're interested in using it. So we meet with all a variety of people who are interested. And then when they're through with the 10 books, we have a graduation. So this is one of Eloy's classes. He had a huge class. They started during the pandemic online. It took them like 5 or 6 years to get through it because of the pandemic. But these ladies were in the class, but they were in Hong Kong working, Filipinos, and so they couldn't come for the graduation, so we went there and did the graduation. And then they've since gone through a teacher training workshop. So only one of those ladies is really qualified to teach, but she's probably going to start teaching more women there. Okay, and then we have these fishermen in Central Philippines. There's an island called Bohol, and there's 27 little islands above Bohol. And they came to know Christ, and then they started studying the BTC program. Some of these guys never got through sixth grade. They're very poor. You know, fishermen are like the poorest of the poor, but these guys started studying BTCP. Our CCI coordinator would go up there, spend the night, teach them all night, and then the whole next day. There's been 100 fishermen who have gone through BTCP, and they've planted churches on 20 of the islands. And they're teaching. These are the four fishermen here. We just visited them 2 weeks ago. And two of them will pastor on the Sunday, and the other two are off on another island doing an outreach. And they're teaching the class to other people, other fishermen. So that's the idea. You teach them to teach others, to teach others, to teach others, and to plant churches. So it's multiplication. Okay, now we have a picture of all the coordinators that are in the Philippines. So we're on Luzon, but there's the Central Islands, and then you have Mindanao in the south, which is huge. So we have quite a few coordinators down there, but we could always use more because, you know, the Philippines is a big country. So we could really use coordinators in northern Luzon and on some of the bigger islands off of Luzon, like Palawan, Masbate, Mindoro, and Marinduque. So you could pray for that. And you could pray for Manny because he's got diabetes type 2, and he has Parkinson's now, and it's the rigidity. He doesn't have the shaking, but it started with a frozen shoulder and just kind of progressed down his left side. So you could just pray for him. At least he's got medicine, which helps, but it limits what he can do. And so I'm doing more in taking him places to meet with pastors and churches to promote BTCP, or we go and, you know, we officiate at a graduation. So I just praise God for Stony Creek because you have been supporting me since I went over there, basically. And then when I got married, and I just thank you guys so much for your prayers And it's been a great life. You know, I never thought I'd end up as a missionary. My idea of a missionary was like from the African Queen with Katharine Hepburn. I didn't know missions even existed anymore. But praise God, you know, His will is always perfect. And I just thank Him for the privilege of being in the Philippines all these years. Thank you.